Welcome to Chat with Nat, stories of faith, hope, and love. I'm hoping the books I've read and the people I've met inspire you as much as they have me. Welcome back. I'm a day late today. I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to do this week. I was going to skip it. So I've titled this one, Who Are You and Where Are You Headed? Because I thought I was going to do the eight like slices of the life coaching wheel, and I had done two, and I was going to continue going with those. But after the last episode, it was on environment and how I do my routine every day and make sure the house is tidy and neat. And I thought, you know, that's not the reality for everybody. Like, I have the luxury, I don't know how to say that, of not working right now. And so, easier said than done. I spent the day yesterday with a friend who, she just had surgery and she's in a lot of pain. And I thought, if she'd have listened to that, she'd have been like, Natalie, just, you know, really? And so, I just wanted to take a pause and refocus on what I'm doing here. And what I'm trying to do is to be helpful. And those tips are very helpful for people. But the reality is it's not going to fit into everybody's life. And so whatever you can take from this, just know that we're not, each one of us are in a different place in our life. And that's fine. And just use this stuff to be helpful. So when I walk into the studio every day, there is this big, huge picture sitting on one of the walls, and it's of a black Ford car. And it kind of makes me chuckle. Number one is because my dad always jokes that Ford stands for Found on Road Dead. And if you know my dad, you know that that's his humor. But what the real reason I love the car is because it's a reminder of something that happened in one of my therapy sessions years ago. And it's one of the therapist had talked about. She said, this is how we're going to do therapy. We're going to treat it as if we were in a car. And she said, I like to think about, you know, therapy as where are you headed? So like when you get in a car, you have to know where you're going or you're going to get lost. So it's how we're going to treat therapy is we're going to focus on where we're headed. And she said, just like in a car, the rearview mirrors will help you glance back. But you can't stay focused on that rearview mirror or you're going to wreck. You have to keep your focus on where you're headed and where you're going. And so she said, well, look at the past, just like you'd look in the rearview mirror, but we're not going to keep our focus on that. And we're not going to keep rehashing all of that old stuff. We'll glance at it. It's important. Happened for a reason. We'll touch base on it. We'll glance at it, but we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on where we're headed. And so when I walk into the studio and see this car, it's a great reminder of where are you headed? What are you focus on what you're going to be doing? And when I'm meeting with people in the studio to work on their goals, they may not know, but when I'm looking at that car, I'm like, okay, where are they headed? Like, what is their goal? How can I help them? How can we set small goals to get there? We can glance back and see what went wrong, like if something didn't go well, but we're not going to dwell on that and focus on that. We're just going to try something different and keep moving forward. So I love that car. And yeah, it's important to know where you're going. And so one of the first things that I do, like if I'm meeting with somebody new or somebody, you know, is not sure where they're headed, we start with these value cards. I have 100 cards with different words on them, in a short description of that word. And what I have them do is I sort them and they sort them into piles of important to me, not important to me, very important to me. And it takes a little bit of time and they're usually like, how many are there? But what they do is, and I tell them not to overthink it. Like, what's your first gut? Don't put like something in a pile just because you think it should be there. What is truly important to you? Don't ever think it, just what's your first instinct. And so what we do is we whittle it down to their top 10 very important to me. And I like to push most people to 5. Some people just can't do it. They can't do it. They're like, this is too hard to pick 5. But we at least narrow it down to 10. And so what that does is it's a good start of for me, actually, when I'm working with them, to know what their values are, because everybody's values are different. Like, I can tell you what mine are, but I can't make my values your values. I mean, each person is different. And so that's where we start. Who you are as a person, what is important to you. And what we do with those then is use those to make decisions on, you know, like if they were going to look for a new job, it's like, well, do any of those violate your top five values in your life? And if so, that's maybe not the right decision. It's just a good, or any little decision that you're making, is it violating my values? Because you don't want to compromise that. And so I think it's important to know who you are and what's important to you. And if you don't have those cards, I mean, I'll do that activity with you whenever, because I love to do it. But I mean, you could just Google value cards and it'll show you the 100 different words. But I think it's important. Most people know what their values are. Some are family, some are God's will. Mine, I just actually did it before I recorded this episode. Sat down and redid mine. I went through the 100 cards from scratch, and I was surprised. I hadn't done it for probably 5 years, and I was pretty confident that they didn't change, and I knew what they were. But when I did the exercise again, a couple of them had changed, and I guess I'm happy with what I've changed. One of my top, I still feel bad about this, but I have to be honest, one of my tops is comfort. I like to be comfortable, and I like to be warm. I don't like to be too hot, too cold. And this is one of my values. It sounds really selfish, and I admit that it is, but like, if I'm going to be cold, I'm not going to take a job out in the cold. Like, it's just not, doesn't sound fun to me. But most of my values stayed the same. A couple of them changed. But God's will was number one back then, and it still is now. God's will for my life, and I forget that a lot, so it's important to revisit those. What does God want me to do with my life? I don't know. I question it often. I think a lot of people do. And I don't know that I ever will know, but I just will try to take it one day at a time and see where I'm led. And so, I don't know. I just really feel like this topic is important to me. Not as much as who you are, but where are you headed? That topic has become very important to me in the last, I mean, it always has been, but in this last week or so, it's really became a topic of conversation in some of the things that have been happening in my life. As most of you know, I'm one of the leaders of our local support group for Courage in Cancer. And that was the topic that we discussed this week, is mortality, because the reality is the people in that group, most of them are living with cancer, and it's not something that's going to be cured. They're going to have this cancer, you know, for the rest of their lives. They're actually living with it. And so we felt that the topic of mortality was important to discuss with them. Because, you know, they honestly do not know how much time that they have. No, none of us do, but they're facing that more so than the rest of us are. And one of the ladies, actually, who was in our support group, she was put on hospice last week. And of all of the people in the group, she was probably one of the last ones I thought would be in that situation. I thought she was doing well. We saw her, it was a month or so ago, at the group, and she was doing well and smiling and laughing and just looking really healthy. And so I was very shocked when I got the call that they were putting her on hospice. And so I went over to see her at, she was at a local nursing home. I went over to see her, and I'll just never forget that day with her, because I've just never seen somebody so ready to go home to the Lord. And she was, and I mean, she was in pain, but she was still smiling and very peaceful. And there was nothing, I thought it was very, like, amazing that there was no more worry about this world here. And she was just at peace, like, and she was even joking, like, when is the Lord going to take me? I'm ready. Why isn't he taking me? And so we kind of just laughed, and we had some fun about, like, well, like, what do you picture that heaven would look like. And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, nobody knows. And then I shared with her the story of when my younger son, Aiden, was even younger. I mean, I feel like he was maybe 10 or so. We had the same conversation. He's like, Mom, I think that heaven is custom created to each person. Like, God knows each person, and it's going to be what God knows about that person, and it's going to make it wonderful for each person. And I love that thought that Aiden planted in my head, that, yeah, God does know each of us individually. And I wouldn't be surprised if he had it different, like it looks different for all of us, but it's perfect for all of us. And so Dorothy and I had a lot of fun on her last day here. She passed later that night, but I just said to her husband at the funeral service, like, I've just never in my life seen somebody so ready to go. And she was certain where she was headed. And so when I think of that question, where are you headed? She had no doubt where she was headed, and she was actually very excited about it. And so it got me thinking a lot, especially with our mortality discussion that we had at our cancer support group, is, do I know where I'm headed? Like, if I would get hit by a bus today, do I know where I'm going? We used to joke at the bank. It's like, because we were so busy all the time, and we would joke, like, if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, know that this file is here and this needs done. And like, we would joke about it, but that would be a horrible thing if we left. Like, if we got hit by a bus, that we were more worried about the work that needed done in the office than where we were actually going, like that we would actually be going if we died. And so I think that question is valid to ask yourself, do I know where I'm going if I'd get hit by a bus today? And I think that's something that we don't think about enough. We try to avoid that subject. Death is a scary subject, and we don't want to lose anybody in our lives. But I do think there is comfort in, like, my friend who I visited in the hospice care. There's a great comfort in her peace of knowing where she was at. And I actually shed no tears, not because I won't miss her, is because I'm so happy for her that she has no more struggles here on earth and she is in paradise. You know, I can imagine, I mean, paradise. I think of Ben and I went to Italy about, I think it was 8 years ago, and people ask me, you know, to describe that. And it was such a beautiful country and trip. And like, Ben and I got along so well. I mean, it was just the perfect trip. And I often think to myself, I believe that that's a little bit of what heaven will look like and feel like. And so I want to be sure that I get there. And and how do we get there, right? So, I mean, we got to stay close to God. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to not go there. I don't want to miss that trip. That trip is the ultimate trip. It's a free vacation. Honestly, think about that. No cost. We don't need to worry about what we'll eat there, what we'll drink there. We don't have to pay for anything. We don't have to get in shape before we go. We'll have no aches or pains or, you know, problems. I remember I had a toothache before I went to Italy, and I was so worried that I was going to have this toothache the whole time I was there. But we're in heaven. We're not going to have to worry about any aches or pains or being tired or worrying about the time change. And it's absolutely no cost, free. All we have to do is accept the free invitation. Only catch. We don't know when it's going to be. Like, we're going to accept this, but then we don't know what it's going to be. And so what do we do in the wait? What do we do in the meantime? And I can't answer that. I don't know that anybody here can answer that, but God can. He can tell us what we need to be doing. And so for me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to stay close to God. And I know he holds the free ticket. I mean, Jesus, I'm accepting Jesus. And he's like, that's all you got to do. And it's free. And so I'm going to start my day with him and study scriptures and give thanks for all that he's done for me. And I'm going to try to help those who need help, and I'm going to work if I have to work as if I'm working for God. Like, just, I just think it's that important. This is our eternity that we're worried about. I feel like we take that for granted. I know that I do. I mean, I'm worried about what I'm going to wear tomorrow sometimes, and not worried about if I'm dead tomorrow, where I'll be. And so the phone's ringing. I think it must be time to end. It's actually Mom calling, and I'm going to go visit with her. And it's so such a privilege that she's 87 years old and I'm still getting to see her here on this earth. But if there comes and there will be a day when she's not here with us any longer, and I'm very confident where my mom is going, because we've had these conversations, and I know that she's going to take this free trip to paradise, and I'm very excited for her. I will miss her very much, but I believe if anything, it's my mom who has taught me about how to get there. She has been very faithful of taking me to Sunday school every single Sunday for 18 years and then some, and making sure that I understood what it all meant. And so I'm very thankful to her, and I'm very confident that we will spend eternity together. And so I just really, I guess, am passionate about this and that topic. And I want you there too. So it's my prayer that you too will work for the Lord and seek His will for your life, so that you can get that free ticket to paradise with no cost. Just Jesus. I'll talk to you soon. Nat.